Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
Are in this new series, The Lost Parables, and it's not going to be very long because there's only three of them. And last week we talked about the lost sheep. We talked about lost in space, how we wander, how we drift, how we move from place to place, and we can be eating grass and keeping our head down and look up and we're not in the place where we were meant to be. God is searching for us and goes out. And all you have to do to be rescued is to be carried back. And we're going to look at the middle parable of that lost set. And it's the lost coin. And this is the one that I think is the one that we jump over most because it's only a few verses, 8, 9, and 10. And in those few verses, we don't get a lot, and we think, well, it's not that much different from the sheep, and we're really excited to get to the lost son, because we're like, oh man, we know that one really well. So we want to take some time this morning and really look at the lost coin and understand why Jesus gave us both the lost sheep, who was lost in space, and also gave us the lost coin, which is lost in place. So let's read Luke 15, 8 through 10. Jesus is teaching his disciples and he says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Will you pray with me? Father, as we have opened your word, let those words simmer in our hearts, in our minds, in our hands. What does it draw us toward? Who are you, God, in this moment? Illuminate this in our hearts. In your Son, we pray. Amen. Being lost is really kind of a shame. We feel kind of guilty about it. We feel embarrassed about it. And especially if we're acting like the sheep and we wander away and we know we're not supposed to be away from the shepherd for too long. But there is this parable that we have to deal with, the lost coin. The coin does not do anything. The coin is very passive in this whole moment. And in fact, we're going to see that the coin doesn't do anything to be found. The coin doesn't do anything to cry out. The coin is what it is. It's an inanimate object. And so how can we balance what Jesus is teaching about the sheep with what he's teaching about the coin? There is a darkness to being lost. The woman loses these coins in the darkness. It's not light because she has to light the lamp. But what does lighting the lamp suggest about God's pursuit of us? What does it say about who God is? What does it say about who we are and how we wander and how we are lost and how we just are not being able to be found? The coin is lost in the darkness, but darkness of being obscured and covered and hidden under the ordinary debris of life. And see, this is different from the shepherd's search. The sheep is outside, it's in the wilderness, it's in danger, it's in the light. But the coin is lost at home in very familiar surroundings. It's lost in the familiar, it's lost in the routine, and it takes intentional light to make it found again. And sometimes those things are hidden in plain sight. I've lost my keys so many times I had to put an AirTag on them. And I know how frustrating it is to know, like, they were right here. I know they were here. I set them down when I came in the house, and now they've disappeared. One paper gets moved over it, and you spend 10 minutes finding your keys. But just as we know, those keys didn't get up and walk on their own. They were placed there. They were set there, absent-mindedly, through no fault of their own. God's pursuit isn't passive. It's not a general announcement. Like, if there's anyone lost here, just let us know. And when we think about how we're reaching the community, do we get a big billboard that says, by the way, if you're lost, there is a church for you. There is a place for lost people in this room. Gosh, why? What happened? Why are they not here? The keys don't know they're lost. The coin doesn't know that it's lost. And so God's pursuit of lost things is not a general announcement to the room. It is, I am going to search. I'm going to light the lamp, and I'm going to sweep the corners, and I'm going to find this one coin. God searches deliberately and carefully for what belongs to him. And so let's look at the helplessness of being lost. Let's look at what that leads us to say, where have I gone, or where has this person gone? What does the coin being passive mean? What does that lend to us in this story? But more importantly, what does it say about our spiritual conditions? That Jesus needs to remind his believers, his disciples, those people following him and learning from him, that sometimes you're just going to be lost in place. Sometimes you're just going to not know where you are at no fault of you. Of your own. And that's what's so striking about this parable. And I think it's why it's glanced over so often, because we just don't understand the coin. The coin does absolutely nothing. At least sheep make noise. I don't know if you spent time around sheep, but they make lots of noise. They're very annoying as an animal. And when we're going to talk about the prodigal son next week, at least the son has the sense to come back to himself, to find himself, to recognize that he is in a place where he doesn't belong. But the coin just lies there. It is inert. It's unable to call out. It's unable to move toward the light. And in fact, the longer that it stays lost, the more lost it gets as things get covered over. The dust comes down, papers get moved, chairs get moved, drawers get shut. A lost coin stays lost, and it will continue to be lost. This is a strange story, because we think that lost things get lost on their own. They rebel against God. They wander away. They drift. They're not paying attention. They choose something that they weren't supposed to choose. And yet, here we are, a coin that just simply slips out of circulation. And I think Jesus intentionally chooses something small and silent and passive. And here, how about this? Incapable of returning itself. Which raises this question that I think is at the heart of this parable, that I think unsettles us and unsettles the believers that were listening to this. How can something be lost without going anywhere? What does that say about my spiritual life? What does that say about what I must take on myself to not be lost while staying in place? The trouble in this text is not just the missing coin. It's that lostness can happen quietly and without notice and without blame. And yet, the woman notices the absence immediately. Something small is missing, and yet it matters to her. It matters a great deal to her. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. She's lost about $10. She sweeps her house, she turns it upside down for $10. And $10 is a lot for someone that doesn't have a lot of money. It's a lot to someone who has a medium amount of money. $10 is not something you just throw away. $10 you would sweep your house for, but would you continue until you found it? $10 is the amount that says, yeah, I noticed that it's missing, but how much effort am I going to put into finding it? What does it mean that the coin is lost in the house, though? What does it mean that the coin is there amongst the things that she loves and amongst her normal life and her routine? And this is perhaps maybe the most haunting detail of the entire parable. It's not lost in the marketplace. You know, Jesus could have told a parable about a woman who goes to the marketplace and loses her purse. Or she was traveling to the temple and it was stolen by thieves. He's told stories about thieves stealing things before. Jesus tells the parable about a coin that is lost at home, the very place that it should be safe. And the religious leaders are listening to Jesus and would have understood immediately what he was getting at here. This parable isn't about tax collectors and sinners, right? The you and I of this story. This is about the Pharisees. This is about the religious leaders. This is about those trained in the law, about people who are inside the household of faith, but have lost their value and their purpose. They have lost their connection to the owner. And just like lost keys are of no use to the car owner, Jesus is saying to those religious leaders who say, I have lost connection with you because you have lost the thread. You've lost the purpose of what we have called you here to do. God is not concerned with your religion. God is not concerned with how well you can keep the law. God is concerned with that $10 that you just threw away. Do you feel it absent in your life? Do you care enough about the things that God cares about to pursue them with vigor? We usually associate lostness with rebellion, leaving the church, abandoning faith, having a dramatic collapse in one's life. But many people are lost in place. They're lost, but they're still showing up. They're lost, but they're still in the house. They're still nearby in our lives, and we've lost touch with them, and they've lost touch with what's going on inside the house. They're unseen. They're unused. They're unheard. They're slowly being buried under routines and roles and expectations. We take it for granted that we dropped the keys at the door, and when we come back and look for them, they're no longer there. I thought that they would be there. I expected them to be there. Where are they? And do I care enough about them to pursue them? And Jesus isn't telling us to rent a billboard on the highway and say, "Are you a lost coin?" He's saying, do you have what it takes? Do you have the love of God in your heart to pursue the people that you expected to be there and they are not? People don't leave loudly, they disappear quietly. They slip into the background. You know why I think mega churches, large churches, are really popular nowadays? Because it's filled with lost coins. Are filled with people that want to sit and not be recognized. They're filled with people that don't want to take their relationship with Christ to the next level. They don't want people to find them and hold them in their hands and make them be accountable for the things that they're doing. That's why they're so popular, because we can fill up our churches with lost coins and we can then pat ourselves on the back and say, look at all these people that we found. Look at how big our church is growing now. And yet they sit there and they don't want to be recognized. They want to fall into a pattern that says, don't pursue me. In our churches, we can look like attendance without connection, without engagement. We can see our services not have joy, just people kind of blankly staring. We can have belief, but we don't feel like we belong, or we can belong without belief, and we don't want to take that seriously in pursuing people. But I think the deeper trouble is that we are far better at noticing who leaves than those who fade. If someone doesn't show up at church, if someone doesn't show up in our lives, we notice that, right? But those people that have faded into the background that still are kind of coming here, but they're not really engaged, or they haven't really had a lot of joy in their lives, or they haven't had a lot of connection, or they belong but they don't believe. Those are the people that we can go our entire lives without noticing. Wandering sheep, yeah, we know that. Let's go get them. Come on, let's come back. But the lost coins who just get shuffled and moved around, they're happy to do it. They're happy to be in the background. You can be in church every Sunday and still be lost. You can know all the right answers and still be covered in darkness. You can be one of the 10 and still be the one that is missing. And so it begs the question, who are the lost coins in your life? They're not always obvious answers, because sometimes we mistake lost sheep for lost coins, or we lost coins for lost sheep. These are the faithful attenders whose hearts have grown cold, the volunteer who's going through the motions, the lifelong member who's angry at God but too loyal to leave. They're lost at home, and often no one, including themselves, realizes it. And how do we realize it? How do we approach other people? How do we say and speak into their lives, where are you? Where is God in your life? This is the life of the church. The life of the church is not a worship band and a pastor, by the way. Oh, mega churches will let you think that's what it's about. We have great worship. We have a great pastor. He's on Instagram. He has a TikTok reel. But church is the people. And if you're not pursuing those around you, if you're not pursuing their heart, if you're not pursuing their lives, if you're not pursuing relationship with the people, if you'd rather have a relationship with the worship music and the sermon, that's arm's length. That's showing you, that's showing your heart, that's showing God what is more important to you. Worship music and a sermon, that's all I need. I don't want people coming after me. I don't want people to know about me. I don't want people to know about the things that I've done. I don't want a relationship with other people. And I'm sorry to tell you, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this after 2,000 years. The church is about pursuing relationships with the people around them. And we have unpacked this several times, that the way that you pursue Christ is the way you're going to pursue people. And if there is a disconnect in those two things, you're not pursuing Christ at all. You're pursuing status, you're pursuing knowledge, you're pursuing worship music and sermons. This is why you cannot grow in your faith if you sit at your house and watch it on the TV. You could try. It worked through COVID for a little while. But what happened? We needed to get back into community. This is church. The gathering together and the pursuing of each other in relationship. Just as strongly as we pursue relationship with Christ. So what is God doing here? The woman searches carefully until she finds it. She doesn't give up. She says, this coin is worth so much to me that I'm going to continue finding it. Notice it's until she finds it. It's not until she gives up, until she gets distracted, until she gets bored, until she decides it's not worth the effort anymore. Not until she concludes, the coin must not want to be found. I've done all I can. That coin is on its own now. The woman's search is relentless. She reorganizes the entire house if necessary. Every corner, every crack, every shadow gets examined under the light of her lamp. She does not wait. She does it immediately. And she does not scold. She disrupts the house. She gets other people to see the value of this coin. Because value is not determined by visibility or usefulness. Value is not determined by visibility or usefulness. We do not pursue you because you have something to give for us. We do not want you to attend this church because you are useful to us. We want you here gathered together because we love you, because we want your heart, because we want to pursue relationship with you. Relationship is not useful, by the way, in the conventional way. Sure, we want you to volunteer. We want you to come up here and sing. Maybe, I don't know, give a sermon every once in a while. Those are useful things, but we do not need them. We need you. Because a coin is just as valuable whether it is under the couch, whether it isn't in the dust, whether it is out of circulation, or whether it is in her possession. It has the same amount of value and worth. And so because it is lost, it does not lose its value. And it makes her want to pursue it. And when it is found, there is no lecture. There is only joy. Jesus makes this shocking claim. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Oh, but wait a second here. The coin didn't repent. The coin didn't say it was sorry. The coin didn't, of its own momentum, turn from its bad ways and come back to Christ. So that should tell us something about repentance, right? Repentance here is not an action. It's being restored to where you belong. It's of no use to us to try and do it ourselves. It's not something that we earn. It's not something done by our action. Repentance is that restoration part of who you are. Back to where you belong. Prove your value. Prove your worth, not by being useful, but by being back in the presence of Christ. God actively searches for those who cannot search for themselves, and heaven celebrates recovery, not correction. We have found the coin. Let's all throw a party. This is the character of God. He does not conduct a casual sweep and move on. He pursues with intentionality, meticulous, careful, searching, because you, yes, you are worth finding. If you've ever felt forgotten or overlooked or not worth the effort, listen to me. Heaven is searching for you with a lamp. You might feel small or insignificant or worthless or not useful to the kingdom. You may feel insignificant, like a single coin in the universe. But to God, you are precious enough to disrupt everything to be found. To God. Now, what about to us? What about to the church? Do we see individual people as being worth that pursuit? One final thing is going on in this text. We talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it next week as well. There is a scandal of joy going on here. She calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." This is what's so absurd about this parable. She throws a party. For finding her own coin, she throws a party for it. Can you imagine if you found 10 bucks in your coat and you're like, "Let's get them all together. We're having a party." That probably costs more than $10, right? She doesn't sheepishly put it back in her pocket and move on. She calls everyone she knows together for a celebration. Her response is exactly the point. The value isn't economic, it's communal. I have found this. Let's all come together and celebrate something that has been found. This was hers. It belonged to her. It bore her image and her mark, and it is recovered in value, not in her life, but what it means for the community. That's church there. What does it mean for us when someone is found? Does it bring us joy, or do we say once again, meh? It happens. And here's the theological earthquake. Jesus says there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner. But the coin didn't repent. It couldn't. It was found. And so what is that repentance? It's not the coin's decision. It is the woman's discovery. Repentance here is God's act of recovery being recognized and celebrated. Bring them in and let's have a party. It doesn't negate human responsibility. The other two parables make that clear, that there is still a human agency that goes on in understanding our responsibility in repentance, but it does not start with us. It has to start with God. So, we've seen God's relentless search, His extravagant celebration, His refusal to give up on even one thing. And so now the question is, how do we understand and how does it change our lives in the first place? So the first thing that I think we ought to do is we ought to become lamplighters. If God lights a lamp to find the lost, so should we. And the woman didn't wait for the coin to shine. She brought the light to where the coin was hidden. And this is our calling, to bring the light of Christ into the dark places, the dark corners where people are lost. You think billboards are the dark places where people are lost? They are not. People are lost in some very dark, strange places. And we gotta dig under the couch. We gotta sweep the corners and define those people. Number two, we need to sweep the house. So if God searches carefully and relentlessly, so should we. The woman didn't do a surface level glance. She swept, which means that she moved furniture. She got on her hands and knees. She disrupted the normal order of things. Finding the lost, how about this, requires effort. We can't just stand there and expect the lost to show up and say, hey, would you tell me about Jesus a little bit? We pursue the hearts of people. And we don't do it in a strange way where we walk up to people on the sidewalk and say, do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know God? It is a lifelong pursuit of people's hearts in relationship to one another. We go after them. You commit to the long, often unglamorous work of discipleship, meeting with someone weekly, texting to check in, showing up even when it's inconvenient. You refuse to give up on people the world has written off. And you're willing to disrupt your comfortable Christian routine if it means finding someone who is lost. Number three, and this is my favorite maybe action step of all time, throw extravagant parties. Okay, fine, let's do it. Let's throw extravagant parties. Let's celebrate lost things being found. Because I think we step over that moment, right? We think it's just out of duty, out of habit, out of discipline that lost people are found, that we pursue people, we bring them in. But really, we're skipping over that joy part that God has said, there is something that has been found. Let's celebrate that. And the woman's celebration was economically irrational, but spiritually essential. And she spent more on the party with the coin was worth, because the point wasn't economic value. It was the joy of recovery, the joy of repentance. Celebrate spiritual milestones with extravagance. Stop being embarrassed by new believers' questions and just start rejoicing that they are all here at all. And personally invest in celebrating what God is doing. And whether they're small, whether they're big, it doesn't matter. Celebrate it with joy. Say, hey, we had a great week. Hey, we heard from God. Hey, this is amazing. Let's praise God together in that, which is what our worship is every week. We've heard from God. We've seen Him. We were lost, and now we are found. How does that make us feel? You are worth finding. The sheep wanders. The son rebels, but the coin does nothing, and the woman searches and finds it. That's what this is about. Not doing anything of our own work, but saying God has found the things that are worth pursuing. And here's the challenge. Will you join that pursuit?